You know, in the last year as we travel, or the last, especially since probably March of 2020, I would say, as we've crisscrossed the U.S., we have seen a tremendous amount of fear that's risen up in our nation. And I wish I could say it's just outside of the church, but it's crept into the church as well. There's churches that we have been at that have had church splits in the last year, or the pastoral team has all stepped down because of the confusion over COVID-19. And this morning, my message is not on COVID-19 and all the issues surrounding it, but I'm just here to tell you the fear that's gripping America today is nothing new. They dealt with it in Matthew 27, different times throughout. Of course, then it was against the Roman government, but there was different types of fear. But people are so bound up in fear, they're having a hard time thinking straight and making right decisions. So this morning, I hope that the message I'm going to bring you is simply called truth. The message I'm going to bring you can encourage you when you leave here to be able to do a better job of rightly dividing the word of truth. If there's anything I share this morning that is not of God, I pray it's just be like the chaff that falls by the wayside and would be of no value. But if it is of the Lord, that it would penetrate your hearts. You know, in John 18:38, before I get to the theme passage, Pilate said, when Jesus was brought in front of him, he said these words, "What is truth? What is truth?" And you know, the battle on what is truth has been raging all the way down through history of time. And today people are still asking, what is truth? What is truth and what is not? And it's been a cause of great concern and confusion among many people. So this morning, let's go to Matthew 28. And let's just see in verse 11, I'm going to read about five verses. "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray as I go into your word this morning that I would be, that this message would be a blessing to this group of people and it would be fitly for a time such as this. I thank you for the Sunday school lesson we heard, the battle that was raging there in the book of Acts, Lord, between the Sadducees and Pharisees trying to discern what is truth and Paul trying to convey it the best he possibly could with the help of your Holy Spirit. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that what I share, God, would be truth, and that I wouldn't share anything that is a falsehood, that we recognize, Lord, today you are the author of truth, the King of kings, Lord of lords. And we ask your guidance for these next few minutes, I pray, in your name, amen. So what is truth? Here's what Webster says. Webster says, truth is the property of being in accord with fact or reality. True things exist, false things do not or never have. But what does the Bible say? John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus says multiple times in scriptures, he says these words, truly I say to you, or I tell you the truth. Jesus is all about truth. And that's why I believe there is such a hatred or animosity today toward Christian people around the globe and now on our own soil here in America, because Christianity is truth. And I'll get into that in a minute. Here are just some scriptures I pulled out. I could have pulled out hundreds of them. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I want to caution you, be a little careful how much you get consumed by the news and what news source you go to. This can drive you almost crazy. And I think as a dad, we need to be on top of what's going on. Don't get me wrong. But be careful what you listen to. Very, very important. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Ephesians 4:25, wherefore put away lying. Speak every man truth as his neighbor, for we are members one of another. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. My prayer for you as a group of believers is to rightly divide the word of truth as dads and as moms, and of course as your pastor here as well. In this account I just read in Matthew 28, you know, they spread a falsehood. They were saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we'll persuade him and secure you. That lie that was put out that day, that false report, is a lie that has come down through the ages. by and large, many of the Jewish people today don't believe that Jesus Christ is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. They may believe he was a good man, but that lie has kept coming, and falsehoods can get spread in a variety of ways. What does God hate? Proverbs 6:16 says, there's six things the Lord hates, yea, seven, an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. That sounds like America, doesn't it? How about Proverbs 17:20? He that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. I could go on and on and give you a lot of scriptures. I'll give you one more. James 1:26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Truth is a big deal. Truth is very important. My wife got called into jury duty about 2 months ago. It was not her favorite pastime as a busy mom, but she sat there for a week trying to discern what is truth. And, you know, you had the prosecuting attorney, the defense attorney going back and forth each other trying to make a case for that. And these jurors are put to decide what is truth. But I'm thankful as Christians we can have God's word that we can go to and discern what is true. Because the truth is often uncomfortable to hear, many in our world avoid saying anything that resembles truth. Our current culture operates today on feelings. If it feels good, do it. The Christian worldview is no longer the predominant view in our nation. The bedrock of truth that was once the way most saw the world has fallen out of favor. What we've witnessed in the last 18 months, several years in America, or even the last several decades, is a result of what happens when feelings and not facts become our moral compass. So many are led astray by false teachings disguised as popular ideologies. By the time the lies are finally exposed, the loss is immeasurable. Friends, this morning we must know our Bible and we must be thinkers. I want to encourage you, if nothing else this morning, you leave here with more of a passion to get in the Word of God and to become a critical thinker. Otherwise, we're going to fall into the false teachings of the popular worldviews that are being promoted in our culture and even creeping in our churches. The church at Rome had huge issues with this, and Paul was addressing that. And by the way, that's what got him into trouble. He was exposing a lot of these lies and fallacies that were going on. In January last year, 2020, our family was all together at a family reunion, and along with the group you saw tonight and our married children. And I told our married children, I said, my prayer for our family, the Bontriggers, and I would encourage you as dads, think about this for your family. But I said, my prayer for you as Bontriggers are that we would be as the sons of Issachar, as it talks about in 2 Chronicles 12:32, it says the sons of Issachar were wise, understanding the times. Or be a good Berean. We need to be the wisest people on earth. And I'm surprised sometimes how many times Christian people, myself included at times, can be so gullible in falling for this or falling for that. We should be the wisest people on earth. That's what. And what really sets Christianity apart? I'm just going to touch on this real quick. We're serving, friends, a risen Savior. We're not serving another dead hero. All the religions of the world, Muhammad, Buddha, all them, they're serving dead heroes. We're serving a real living God. That's what sets us apart. People are influenced by what they read, hear, and see. Decisions are made and beliefs are developed. Powers are using the information superhighways to manipulate politics, shape values, and control decisions. The scale of this manipulation is historic because never before have people been so connected to each other with so few companies controlling the information. That's what you see happening right now in our culture. So how do we discern truth? John 16:13, Christ said, but when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. I believe there's four ways people come to believe something is true. And there could be more on this. There's just four I jotted down. It's true because it feels good. For an example, Santa Claus or a movie. A couple nights ago, about a week ago, my wife and I were out on a date at a restaurant in Lexington, Kentucky. And our waiter, his name was Mason, we started talking to him about the Lord. And I said, how do you view God in your life? And he said these words, and I'd already put this message together. And he said these words, and it shocked me that he said it, because I view God kind of like I view Santa Claus. I said, how's that? And he goes, well, when I was a child growing up, I knew if I was good throughout the year, Mom and Dad would give me good gifts come Christmas time. And so it gave me a desire to be good. But I realized when I got older that Santa Claus wasn't true. So he said, where is God? He says, I look at God as I want to be good to please him, but does he really exist? I don't know. And we had a lot much longer conversation, but I could get into all of it. But that's the way a lot of public people, a lot of people out in public think. If it feels good or if it appears to be good, it must be true. Another one is, it's true because somebody says it's true. A so-called expert says it's true. Maybe Dr. Fauci. I'm just throwing that out. Maybe I'm stepping on toes. But I'm just saying, the so-called expert, because he says it's true, it must be true, okay? Number three, if it's true, it's true. How do we know that? By evidence and reasons. For an example, Thomas in the Bible, he was looking for the nail prints on Jesus' hand. He had to see the evidence. Some of us are like that. I love to see the evidence. I like to see, yes, that's actual evidence. I can see it. The fourth one, and this takes a little bit more. It says, it's true because of faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, but faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Wow. What does 2 Timothy say? I'm just going to turn to it real quick. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse, well, I'm not going to read the whole thing. It'd take too long this morning. But basically 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 15 is a great account. I would encourage you to study it sometime in your own private devotions. It talks about the last days. And Paul is speaking to Timothy, telling him what to be aware of. And in verse 13, he says these words. He says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Friends, that's where we're at today. And it's creeping into our churches all over. People are being deceived and being deceived. And I want to encourage you this morning, be aware of that. Be on guard. So this morning, I'm going to wrap it up this morning with five ways, five principles I think could help you discern truth. Number one, know your values, your Christian values, and weigh everything against them. If it doesn't align, it's likely not true. I remember as a little boy growing up in a Beachy Amish church. On Wednesday nights, we'd have topics at church. And one of the men at church, that's what we called it back then, one of the men in the church was asked to come up front and lead in a certain topic of his choosing. And I remember I was about 6 years old. And one of my dad's closest friends got up and led a topic that Wednesday night on marriage, the importance of man and woman sticking together till death do us part. 48 hours later, on a Saturday morning, that man left his wife for another woman. Today, he lives in Minnesota. He's now in his 70s. He's on a wheelchair. He's had a horrible life. The consequences of reaping what he sowed, the fallout has been tremendous. But I remember that sitting there and him talking about how he had three little children, how marriage is permanent. And literally 3 days later, he walked out on his wife. So that Wednesday night when he gave that topic in our Beachy Amish church, did he believe what he said or was he a fake? I would say he was probably a fake. I don't think he made that decision to leave his wife in 48 hours. There were things already falling into place. But I want to encourage you this morning, man, there's a target on our back. Satan hates strong marriages. But you know as a Christian, when you met that young lady and you stood on that altar and before God and these witnesses, you vowed for better or for worse till death do us part. That was a serious commitment. The next generation, your little kiddos sitting here, they need to see a mom and dad that are going to stay together no matter what. I think of evangelist Dennis Corll from Pennsylvania. He preaches about 52 weeks a year all over the U.S., flies everywhere. He has a conviction. You may not agree with this. It's just what he told us. He says, when COVID-19 came out, I had a conviction that I'm not supposed to wear a mask. So he said, that meant I couldn't fly anymore. He said, I'm putting on thousands of miles all over the U.S. I have not worn a mask yet. Now, that's not, I don't think mask is a salvation issue, okay? I'm not going there. I'm just saying he knew what his values were, and it wasn't going to line up. He wasn't going to have the government tell him what to do in that area. And so he decided, I'm not doing it. And I'm going to take the high road, and I'm just going to drive everywhere. And he's put on an unbelievable amount of miles in doing that. So number one, know your values, weigh everything against them. If it doesn't align, it's likely not true. Number two, and this is probably the most important one actually, pray and seek God. And listen to the Holy Spirit speak in your life. Listen to the inner voice of the Holy Spirit and allow it to guide you. In our society, the scale of truth are so compromised with the Holy Spirit, it is true. Great passage of scripture in Philippians 4, Verse 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there are any virtue, if there are any praise, think on these things. Wow. And then how about John 14:26? Great verse also. It simply says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Christians, I don't think we're supposed to have a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Third point I have, daily Bible reading. I touched on that earlier in our service, but friends, get in the Word of God. Make this vital in your life. Get in the Word of God. It is so important. Thy word, Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Just like they train you in the banking industry to get familiar with real currency, we need to understand the real Word of God, so we're not deceived by some false teaching that's out there. The bankers and tellers that they train, they know the real currency so well, so when a counterfeit bill comes across their desk, they know it doesn't feel right. That's how we should be with the Word of God, okay? Proverbs 14:15 simply says, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his goings." Ecclesiastes 10:14, the first part of the verse says, "A fool also is full of words." The fourth principle point I would make in knowing truth is pay attention to words and actions. In Matthew 7:20 on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "By their fruits ye shall know them." Bill Brown, he was a retired FBI agent. You can Google this sometime on your own. His lifelong work at the FBI was to try to discern if people are telling the truth or if they're telling lies. And I'm just going to summarize what he said. This is fascinating. He says, "The eyes are a window to the soul. When I look in somebody's eyes and I'm asking them a question, liars look to the right. Truth tellers go to the left. It depends if they're left-handed or right-handed, it'll flip around." Now, you might want to try this on each other sometime. That's what he said. And I watched some video on this. It's amazing. I remember years ago, we had a missionary couple in our home. They were probably mid-upper 70s. And a really great couple. Had the energy of a 30-year-old. But anyhow, I remember the lady telling us, I said, "Talk to our children. I often like to do that when we have missionaries in our home. Tell our young children something important that they could learn going down the path of life." And here's what she said. She says, "Well, different things are going to come at you in life, and you may not always know how to discern it, but follow the money." She said those words, "Follow the money." And she gave some examples. And I've watched that in the last 4 or 5 years. Follow the money, very true. Just look at our political climate in our nation. Or I'll take somebody that maybe you're very familiar with, somebody like a Bill Gates. His father, Bill Gates Sr., was on the board of Planned Parenthood, very much for climate, or population control. Is it any wonder that Bill Gates is very passionate about the vaccine? And the vaccine, by the way, he doesn't care about people's health. That's not what he's after. And that's a topic that would take way more time and I have to get into this morning. But it's all about money. And that's a lot of what drives a lot of things that goes on today. Very, very important. One thing that makes the world so confusing is that people behave inconsistently. Politicians promise one thing, but do another. How many times have you seen that? Somebody's running for office, and they're going to do this, this, and this, and they get into office, and they do totally the opposite. They didn't really believe what they said, okay? Husbands and wives vow faithfulness only to cheat a few months or years down the road. It's hard to know who you can trust. At its root, this disconnect between our words and actions reveals a deeper disconnect in our hearts. James describes this as being double-minded and says, "Double-minded people are unstable in all their ways." Friends, if we're discerning, we should be able to figure that out. And the last one, this is the most important. Know the author of truth. Know the author of truth. Philippians 3:10 says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection." I already quoted that. I'll do it again. John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Jesus is the way. It's only through Christ. You know, just want to read a passage here real quick in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Timothy says in verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." So let me just recap real quickly. What are the five key points in knowing truth? Know your values, your Christian values, what you believe, and weigh everything against them. Number two, listen to that inner voice of the Holy Spirit. Pray to God to give you discernment. I don't always know the answer. One thing I started doing that's helped me that I didn't used to do when I was a young father. My children will come to me sometimes and say, "Dad, what about this or what about that?" And I will quick, more often anymore, say, "Let me think on that or pray about it and get back to you in a day or two." I've sometimes found just give it a little bit of time and gets me a chance to process it rather than just speaking off the cuff and later regretting what I just said. The third point I had was daily Bible reading. More than ever, we need to get in this book. Parents, read the scripture to your children. Dads, have a family Bible time. Get the family together. And if you don't know where to start, maybe you're as a dad, you're sitting here this morning and say, "I never was taught that. That wasn't demonstrated to me." I'll make it real simple for you. Tomorrow is June 27th. Go to Proverbs 27 and read a Proverbs for the day. The work's already done for you. Comment on a few scriptures, pray together, and our family, Rebecca. Would you come up here, Rebecca? She's 13. She's been doing this since she's probably, I don't know, 6, 7, 8. She's our family mission director. And so as we travel, we get missionary cards. And she's got them in a little ring. And so every morning at family devotions, she pulls out that binder and gives us all different missionaries to pray for that day. She keeps it straight so we don't duplicate more than one a day. And she keeps it somewhat in format. And then she also has a book with all our family prayer requests. And when a prayer gets answered, she scratches it out. So it gives her a job as a young girl to do so. There's some young ladies here. You could start being your family's missions directors too, okay? That's just an idea, just a thought. Number four, pay attention to words and actions. And I could talk a long time of this. But pay attention to people's words. And are their words matching up with what they do? If a governor, for an example, in a certain state issues a certain mandate but does another, you know he didn't mean what he said. He was just on a power-hungry grab, okay? And lastly, know the author of truth. And I cannot force this on anybody, but God's word is powerful. I love it this morning. You have those crosses up there, and it just symbolizes everything that Jesus Christ did. He did it at the cross. Without what he did at the cross, we would have no message to share. We would be no different than the lost Muslim down the street. But because we know and we have believed, we have the power and assurance of the gospel. My prayer for you is that you all finish well. I don't know what America is going to look like when your children grow up. But in 2000, 2001, I was in China and North Korea. And I witnessed firsthand in North Korea what a nation looks like when there's 24 hours propaganda being jammed across the airways from one station. And in talking to Christians in North Korea, they really thought, even though they had it bad, they were pulling bark off of trees, grinding it up, and putting it into their soup to thicken the soup and things like that. And even though they were being tortured and martyred, they thought the rest of the world had it worse because of all the propaganda they had been given. I know in Beijing, China, on a Sunday night, going down a back alley with another gentleman to a house church, we sang a few hymns, no amplification like you heard this morning. A minister got up and he shared a scripture. We prayed together real quietly, and then we left in two by twos at different times so the authorities wouldn't catch us. That's over there, folks. That's not so much different than what could happen in America. A year ago, I was at Costco in Iowa City. Dropped my wife off, and I went down the street to get some gas and fuel up our van. And a young Chinese man was at the pump next to me. And I just started talking to him. I thought maybe he was a student from China going to the University of Iowa. And he got a big smile on his face. And he goes, "No, I came to America as a missionary. My church in China sent me out to come evangelize your nation." In the last 100 years, America has sent more mission dollars and more missionaries around the world than all the other nations combined. Let that sink in a bit. But when a nation has lost its way, the tables are turning. Here's the good news. That may sound like doom and gloom, but I'll leave it with good news. The good news is God did not leave us empty-handed. He had us all born here for a time such as this. He has all these little children here for a time such as this. We could have been born through the Great Depression, the Civil War. We could have came over the Mayflower when half the Mayflower died. There could have been other trials throughout history. But I'm so thankful that my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is sufficient. This morning, would you bow your heads in a spirit of prayer? And if God spoke to your heart this morning, maybe you're saying, well, you know, I don't really know the author of truth. I do not know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I would like to get to know him. I'm sure that Pastor Dave or Laverne would love to sit down with you after the service and open the scriptures and make sure you get that account settled once and for all. Is there anybody here that says, if I were to die this morning, I would not be ready for my Lord and Savior? I want to hear those words on Judgment Day. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not depart from me, I never knew you. Do you know that you know that you know that you are born again? If you're here this morning, you could not say that. Friend, would you just slip your hand up, and I'd love to pray for you. Is there anybody here this morning that says, I do not know Jesus as my Lord and Savior? I'm under conviction right now. I need to get right with God. Is there anybody like that? Or maybe you're here this morning and says, you know, I am a born-again believer. I'm a mom. I'm a dad. I got saved a number of years ago. I've got the responsibility of a family. And I need more discernment in the area of truth than ever before. There was something that was said this morning that I'm convicted of. And I need to put a stake in the ground this Sunday morning, June 27. I need to put a stake in the ground. Make a course correction. Would you just pray for me this morning? Is that you? Just slip your hand up. I'm not going to call you out by name. I'd love to pray for you. Anybody? God bless you. Different hands. God bless you, brother. Anyone else? God bless you. Heavenly Father, I lift up this morning. My heart is stirred. I've lifted up different ones here that just slip their hand up and say they need prayer this morning, whatever they may be going through. Maybe they need a Red Sea miracle in their life, something that looks impossible. I don't know what it is, God, but you know. You're the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and end. And you're not the author of confusion, you're the author of truth. God, this morning I also just pray for every father here, myself included, Lord, that we would have more discernment ever as we go throughout 2021 and beyond. That no matter come what may, we would stand firm. We would not look back, as did Lot's wife, Lord, but we would look straight ahead. Keep our eye focused on you. I pray for every mom, maybe in the daily mundane of changing diapers, and wiping runny noses, and putting band-aids on scrapes and scratches. And she would not forget she is raising tomorrow's forefathers. She could be raising the next John Wesley or William Booth or Charles Spurgeon. Lord, we recognize this morning we're just passing through a little while. Life is a vapor. Another generation will come and go. And Lord, I don't know when your return is, but I want to finish well. We love you. We pray for this house of prayer here in Utica, Ohio, in case we never see each other again. That we would meet someday on Judgment Day. And we could together worship at the feet of our Lord and Savior. Where there would be no wrong notes. Everything would be on perfect pitch and perfect harmony. And total adoration toward the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you, Lord, this morning that we don't have to be bound up in fear, that we can have that assurance of salvation. We love you, Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you so much for coming out this morning. We're going to come up and do a final song. Just want to make real brief mention of a couple resources we have.